So we pray, Heavenly Father, it would be so wonderful to accept the truth of what we are singing in the reality of the present hour in which we live, that we know that you are here absolutely, headship is here, the end time headship message has arrived, everything is in divine order, and there is a waiting upon a bride for the perfection that lies within the word, working within her Lord, and we know that these things are coming to pass very, very rapidly. According to our thinking, they may be very slow, but we know everything is on time. Everything is just exactly right. And we pray, Lord, that we may, as never before, receive the assurance of that and then walk in that light. As you're in the light and have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleansing us from all sin, mold our minds, our hearts, and our ways, Lord, one with the Word, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 9 of things which are to be. And in our 8th discussion of this message, we were still perusing the subject of predestination, and Brother Branham was still showing us that since God had made such gracious provision for us here on earth, how could we not trust him and believe his promises relative to the life after death and the home he has prepared for us called many mansions? Now, this lavish provision that Brother Branham speaks of is seen in nature, and it sets forth God as our benevolent Father provider with omniscience and omnipotence, and the essentiality of love, which would guarantee the highest and the best far beyond what anybody could even believe or attempt to fathom. Now, this lavish provision is seen in nature, sets forth God as our benevolent Father provider, and this fact is seen in Genesis 1, where God, having made all things exceedingly good, then further, he makes a Garden of Eden for his children to the exclusion of all other seed. Now, Satan came in there, of course, messed things up, but that garden was not meant for him. Actually, hell was prepared for the devil and his angels and not the Garden of Eden. Now, this predestinating love that we're actually looking at and Brother Branham is speaking about is illustrated, as I say, in the benevolence of God making everything good, then further making on top of that the Garden of Eden, which was God's headquarters on earth, and man's particular home, the particular seed's home, from which they would scatter out over the whole earth, and of course taking with them the very essentiality of what lay within that garden, which of course was the complete dominion over the earth. Now, this shows God's tremendous love in the essentiality of God being love on the grounds of his omniscience and omnipotence, and the manifestation of his omniscience and omnipotence by bringing forth Zoe, which is what we see out here, all this life and all this creation, and all Zoe itself maintained through the creation, which does not contain Zoe, but is made by God. Now, you can understand that quite easily by the fact that in the rocks there are minerals, in the soil there's minerals, and we see the grass grows and the fruit tree grows and all of these things, and the animals, the mammals and fishes even, all these things partake of that which comes from the inanimate, though they're eating animate in the sense that that food is living. Well, you see the whales eat the krill, and I don't know if they did that in the beginning. I suppose they did. They're still doing it. And there the seaweed was eaten by fishes, the grass eaten by animals. And it doesn't mean then the chain is going to the human being where man eats the animals. You know, the old story always was that the good stuff is in the green stuff, from the roots of the ground, you know, the alfalfa and the oats and the wheat and all those things. And we're not supposed to eat that. So instead we get the cow and, you know, the domesticated animals, they eat it and they put it in their protein and we kill them for our protein. That doesn't really hold water, because in the Garden of Eden, absolutely, they were vegetarians. Now, Brother Branham did say that Jesus in the resurrection ate a fish sandwich. I'm not going to argue with anybody. I don't understand it. All I know is I'm going straight by the Bible, letter by letter, and the changes that come are all well and good by me. and I just leave it be. But I'm showing you here that God in His essentiality of love, that's God Himself, that's the Holy Spirit Himself, with omniscience and omnipotence, laid this all out. Like Brother Branham said before, there's a fish with a fin to swim, there was water to swim in. So everything here shows the beneficence of Almighty God, and everything that lies within Him, He has bent in the direction of His own seed, which are His children. Now, let's read what this says in the book of Malachi, chapter 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? Now, this is something you're going to have to look at. Because if he's saying it then, about 4,000 years later, then he can't change. It has to be from the beginning. Where are the others? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and hated Esau, and laid his mountains in his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Now you go to Romans, the 9th chapter, and you're going to see this explained by the Apostle Paul, and much time has been used by Brother Branham on this, and everybody that believes in sovereignty and predestination, you can't shake it. And it says in verse 8, that is they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. Now, telling you something right there. The children of the flesh, there's those that are raised up absolutely by sex and have nothing to do with God. They're pure serpent seed, period, even though there's one lump. See? And he says here, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. Go back to the beginning. The children of the promise, they were promised. And then again, remember, Brother Branham said Eve should have borne Christ. And you got to believe that, because the only fulfillment of that scripture of complete control lies in Christ. He's going, well, I bet on this horse here, but this nag came in first, so that was it. Oh, come on. You don't treat the Word of God like a horse race or some stupid thing. You go to the Word of God and run in continuity. See? Now, there was to be a complete fulfillment of the affirmation of the seed of God to be in complete control. Tell me, when's it going to come? Never has and will not until Jesus Himself comes right down here in full authority. When that Spirit amongst us is incarnated to us at the wedding supper, coming right down with the bride. And going to take over 100% with this every child of God. And notice in here what it says. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son at no other time. In other words, this child is the promise or the word of God fulfilled. In the gene of God, in the mind of God, from the soul of God. This was that one by human election. And remember, the election came to predestinated flesh. And the predestinated flesh is going to rise in the resurrection. Because resurrection means what went down is to come back. And so it's going to come back. And not only this, when Rebekah had also conceived by one, even by her father Isaac. Now notice in there it's telling you that Isaac is carrying two forms of life in one male ejaculate. And you've got about 350,000 sperm at least? I think that's it, 350,000 is what it is. And that's usually conniving for one egg. Two can come down the odd time, but mostly one. Making a race for it. She conceived by her father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, but carried in his loins. And through the program of motherhood, neither having done good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Now that goes way back to foreknowledge. The choosing, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto the elder shall serve the younger, as it's written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. So what you see here is I'm trying to show you that love has everything to do with predestination, And without predestination, there cannot be then a completion or fulfillment of love. You say, well, Brother Vail, I believe otherwise. You believe any way you want. Get your Bible and stand here and I'll bring my concordance out. And we'll just take the rest of the day off. And I'd be happy to. Because if I'm wrong, I want to be shown where I'm wrong. You can't do it. Because he says right here, you deny my love. He said, I've predestinated you. Now you come against my love. Now that means he can fold his hands across his fat tummy like a Buddha, like Brother Branham was criticized, that God was that kind of a God, and see the little children slaughtered, the women ripped up, people put in leather bags with snakes and thrown in the water. Well, I don't believe that. Well, you don't belong here, and I don't belong here. Let's get out of here and go to hell with bells on while we've got the chance. You're young enough to go out and raise hell and have a great time, get drunk, do what you want, get AIDS in the bargain. I'm a mean preacher. I'm pinning it down. You bet your sweet life I'm pinning it down. He says, just stand right still. He says, you talk about my love? I want to show you what love is. Well, I can't do it. Can't? You see why people who talk about love hate predestination? Yeah. And they talk about love and hate sovereignty? And they talk about love and hate that one there in the pillar of fire? Well, love that. You're a liar. Yeah. Let every man's word be a lie, but God's be true.
Amen.
You can't get by. I don't care if anybody preaches. And you won't get this in textbooks. I've read a lot of textbooks on predestination. Everyone saw this. This is something that God shows you. Now, notice again. With me is, I've said before, the predestinated love of God, though not spoken until Deuteronomy 7:6 to 15. And with that, we'll quickly read Exodus 20 when I get finished my sentence. Is that the rich inheritance of his family is great, yet God himself does not speak of him loving us, but that we are to love him. Now, let's go to Exodus chapter 20, and in verse 6, he tells you in the Ten Commandments, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now you notice right off the bat, there isn't any love extended anywhere except to those that have the word that keep the commandments. Now let's get this to begin with. Now follow me closely. Israel was a keeper of the commandments of Almighty God because to them and them only was the word of God given and they kept it. Not that they kept it as though they obeyed it. But they were the repositories. You follow me? Before you can have one thing to say or do about the word, you'd better be a repository. And you're not going to be a repository unless there's a place in your soul for the word. And the Holy Ghost has fallen upon that seed in there, your soul. In order for that word to be there, then there can come forth an obedience. But never a perfect obedience until you're changed. Otherwise, why do you need an intercessor to keep you in? You follow what I'm saying? Now let's go to Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter. And in the 7th chapter, we're going to read a few verses, starting at verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people upon the face of the earth. Now that choosing went right back in him before there was a speck of stardust. And the Lord did not set his love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, but you were the fewest of all people, but because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. Now there again the word of God is with these people. So you can't separate the love of God from the word of God. I've been preaching that for years. And you'll find every single time I go to scripture, I can back up what I'm saying. I'm sick and tired of this phony thing called love. Don't confuse God with sex, male and female. Hogwash. Do you understand when you turn down the truth an hour like this, you will go to homosexuality? Before it's over, how many want AIDS? Be my guest. I'm not interested. No way, shape, and form. Now, would keep his oath which he has sworn unto the fathers. Hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Now you'll notice there again, always the word goes with the promise of God, the election of God, and everything of God. Know therefore the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, by vindication, notice, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him. Now watch, love him, and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. There you are again as repository. And if you don't believe that, how come David is a man after God's own heart and did the terrible things that he did, and he stands justified completely as though he had never done it? Now you're going to tell me he's not going to be in the first resurrection when Jesus Christ is after the flesh and David types it? So I got my own ideas. You see, I don't believe you'll be in the resurrection. Well, I got news for you. You ain't going to be there either. Because I'll take David any day above anybody in this church, myself included, and all together. Because I got no proof for people after God's heart, but I know the Bible says about David, and William Branham backed him, and Paul backed him. Paul uses this King David's own words. Blessed is the man to whom God will not impute iniquity. Doesn't say blessed is the man that doesn't do iniquitous things. He does it, but God won't impute it. See? Now that's not trying to make us some kind of bunch of stupid Baptists and Presbyterians that think we can horse around and do what we want. Well, bless God, I'm eternal secure, like fun you are. You never had any security because you weren't born again. What man wants to have lust like the Joneses and all these crud out there and these preachers? Lying, stealing, cheating, everything else, and say, oh, it's okay. It isn't okay. Our liars and whoremongers, thieves and dogs will never make the resurrection. That goes for me and it goes for you. I'm not preaching some kind of a one-edged sword here to lop your stinking heads off. I'm talking about my head, too. It's a two-edged sword. No way, no way, no way am I going to stand here and try to excuse this, because we're inexcusable. How are you're an inexcusable old man. Only God does not excuse. He pays the price. Now he says here, it was keep commandments and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Notice how long that lasts. 4,000 solid years. And over. And repayeth them that hate him, it's a 40,000 years, beg your pardon. And repayeth them that hate him to the face to destroy them. He will not be slack with him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Now, how do you hate God? If I had not done the works no man, other man had done, they had not sinned, but now they both seen and hated me and my Father. That happened back there in the days of Moses. It happened in the days of Jesus. It happened in the days of Paul. And it's happening now. And for his complete deliverance, it'll never happen again. You say, what about those over there in Israel? Ah, just a minute. Now, they had a way back 2,000 years ago. And they still say, just a minute. Looking at his hands, I hope it's not what we think. What you're looking at is pure grace and mercy. See, thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and statutes and the judgments I command thee unto this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to do these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He'll also bless the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land. See, now what you're doing, you're going right back to the Garden of Eden promises, which predates Eden. Because Eden is where it started to get set up and blew it. Thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy hand, thy sheep, the land which he spread to thy fathers to give thee. And thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil of the evil disease of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. So what we're looking at here is positively the predestinating power of God, which is love. It's the love of God, and that love is absolutely connected with God Himself through His Word, because there is no way that you and I can actually understand the love of God, though we see it out here in His beneficence and kindness and goodness. You'll never understand, and you and I cannot, until we get the revelation of His Word. So, all right, we see His love. It's a predestinating, that love is in predestination. And this we notice in here, as we've already read it, that love is based upon the revealed Word of Almighty God. So, all right, we can go back now on page 13 and start reading. And we reread where we left off in verse four, paragraph 41. And I don't believe that a person just happened to be here by chance. Now, just think. When you came into the world, everything had to be prepared for you. Just like we said, there was water to swim in before there was ever a fish with a fin. And notice what that water brought forth. The water brought forth everything which was commensurate with it. Now, the earth has also brought forth everything commensurate with it, the air and everything else. Everything is commensurate. Everything is in perfect working order till man begin to ruin it. Now, I don't hardly understand how that we could think that a God that could prepare all these good things for us would not be trusted to put our trust in Him. In other words, light begetting light. If He has trust in us to do all of this, we should have trust in Him, which is true. That's a good thought. If He brought us in this chaos, now watch, if He brought us in this chaos that we're now in, and prepared the good things of life for us here, how much more can we trust Him to prepare all things that are to come, the eternal things? It seems very strange. Now, what He's doing is raising our faith to a conclusion. There's nothing wrong with everything that God put here. It's what man has done with it. So therefore, Brother Branham is saying, look, everything here is absolutely propitious. And it's come to the place of complete confusion and chaos. Yet you cannot put your hand upon the original as though in itself it ever had any tendency to do what is being done now. Absolutely not. You can get arsenic, it's in the soil, and when it's in the soil, the right proportions and the right places, you don't need to be afraid of it. Not one little bit. There's nothing in this world that man has to have any fear of whatsoever within itself. It is what is being done with it. And that's your whole trouble. Man was not to meddle in certain things, but he meddles in it anyway. Now, and I do not think that heaven, now watch, I do not think that heaven, here's where we're starting, is a place that my mother used to tell me about. Now, you're going to be very careful to watch what he says. I believe that the church has grown away from that. 100 years or two ago, I think the old timers used to think that everyone that died went up to heaven and had a harp and sat there on the clouds and played a harp. Now they knew there was a place called heaven. If that be so, all the musicians would have it on us, you see. But it's not that kind of a place. It isn't playing harps at all. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But that was a conception they had before the fullness of the Word came into existence, or the opening of the seven seals that's promised us in this age. Now, in other words, Brother Branham is going to tell us something about the prepared place, about heaven, that people really have never actually been able to solve. It's been critically examined, but it hasn't done any good to critically examine it, because no one has had the evidence of proof, which can only come by vindication of a prophet. Now, we understand that, but nobody else does. Now, the seven seals promised in this age. Then we understand. Now, here he's going to tell you. I believe that heaven is a real place, just the same as this is a real place, see, for God started us in our spiritual growth in this place. Now, if the spiritual growth was started here, then can it continue under any other sense of mode of operation or conditions in the sense of creation than what we have here? And Brother Branham absolutely then denies that it's going to be different from here in the sense that we suddenly stop everything and pole vault into something which has not got any interest for us at all. Now remember again, There had to be a place to swim and water before there was a fish with a fin. There had to be an earth here prepared before there was one mammal or one butterfly or anything on this earth. And we're dealing with man as the highest form of God's evolution. And evolution means simply there's strata of life that God created, and man is the last and great one. That's in the Bible. So that's what Brother Branham is telling us. Now, if that is started here, and the program of God went awry, skewed up because of what man did, Satan injecting his poison, then we have to go back where that started, and if it started in this particular area, then it would go on, because this is like babyhood, when you're with your little old crib, and now you're going to go on to manhood, which we did not ever attain to. Adam and Eve never attained to complete adoption and manhood. They simply did not do it. Now, I believe in heaven, that is a place just as real as this, where we don't sit up there for eternity and just sit on a cloud. We don't just strum our harps all from here forever. But we're going to a real place where we're going to do things, where we're going to live. We're going to work. Now, if anybody doesn't want to work, just forget about going to heaven. You just better go to hell and get annihilated. Maybe that's a joke, but it's still the truth. Because this is under the seven seals. Well, I'm not going to go up there and strum my harp. What do you want to strum a harp for? You ever played a mandolin? Till your fingers get cupped, but drives you nuts. Guitar is the same thing. I want a harp. I'm not interested. Don't particularly like them. What's it going to be, a Jew's harp? Harpsichord? How many strings? Now, there's no scripture for it. No scripture. You got a lot of songs and things, a lot of hogwash. Well, they're not really hogwash. They just send them in a bunk. See? We're going to live. We're going to work. And we're going to enjoy. Now, that's what I like. We're going to work and enjoy it. He didn't say that, but it's the truth. We're going to live. We're going to life, to eternal life. Because this is death. Now, we're dying. There we're living. In other words, the desert is blossoming as a rose. And for the first time, we're going to see what it can bring forth. We're going to a heaven, a paradise, just like Adam and Eve worked and lived and ate and enjoyed in the Garden of Eden before sin came in. We're on our road back there again. And of course, that's now, especially since the seals are open. That's right. The first Adam through sin took us out. The second Adam, true righteousness brings us back in again, or brought us back in, justifies us, and brings us back in. Now, the question might arise, where were Adam and Eve as to position and environment when they lost it? Does it return for an advance to the tree of life? Or now take up as when Adam finally reached, would have reached the tree of life, had he gone on? Well, you really don't need to have any of those questions answered. The point of the matter is we have the right to the tree of life after the seals are open. It all depends on who's predestinated to it, that's all. The serpent wasn't. Adam and Eve were, and they blew it. And now with complete redemption, God having come down to open up the book of redemption and to close it all off to the Gentile church and bring in the last 144,000 and finish up the whole program of God, the seventh seal being like a Roman candle. And remember, you're blown plumb into eternity. And Brother Branham, as far as I recall, threw this thing right into the pearly city, the city upon a hill with all the pearly gates. And so we're in that transition period, running out of time completely because it's blended, and going into eternity. So it really doesn't matter. Adam wanted to get to the tree of life to live forever. And God says, no way in this shape can you possibly live forever. So now that we have the chains, the tree of life here, whatever he's talking about, we are now beginning to start the last little trek into it, crossing over Jordan by way of a marvelous rapture. And you notice in here that Brother Branham is preaching further sanctification. Why? Because if justification is the starting point, then the next point is sanctification. And the last point would be glorification. Now, you don't get a baptism after sanctification. That's all gone. It's all over. But you do get the sanctifying effect and the power of God in our lives at those particular ages in there, how many years they last us up to God. I know for sure there's 1,000 years in there. And just how that all works out, that's up to God. Now, to you people who take the tapes down, the message of justification, I want you to get that. I spoke on that here some time ago. So what's he saying? You people that heard the tapes on justification, I want you to know that your justification here is leading you right into this perfect life of righteousness that we lost under Adam, but have recovered under Jesus Christ, and here is where it's going to take you. Look how your earthly parent, before you came here, before they knew that you were coming, made ready for your coming. Just think of that now, your earthly parent, which the earthly parent is only a type of the heavenly parent. See, I brought that up. If we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to His children? Now, those words are spoken by Jesus, plus the other words where He definitely said, if ye being evil how to give good gifts, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So you put the two together, and you get the understanding here that the baptism with the Holy Ghost seals you into every good thing that God's got. So now we're right back to the predestinating power of God, His omniscience, His omnipotence, His love, and we see the seal put upon it now. So where we are going, there is no more temptation because we were given a body of flesh to be tempted. Well, you don't have a body of flesh there anymore. So now you come to the place of growth, and constant growth by the revelation of Almighty God. See, they made ready your coming. They made a little crib or got some little booties, little clothes, and so forth. They made ready everything for you to arrive, prepared. Before you even came on the earth, Jesus had gone to make ready for our coming. And so he says right here, he said, before you and I ever came on this earth. Now we were here in our ancestors. There's no doubt about that, coming on down, down, down. But before we came forth in our own personality, our own bodies, to come forth here as God wanted us, already the Lord had gone to give us these promises of the mansions in glory. And what he's doing again is getting the people to understand the end of their faith, which is now at this particular time here, where omniscience and omnipotence coming through foreknowledge, election, and predestination manifest the perfect love of God, which love has already been manifested through the vindication of His Word and a prophet, proving that this is it. Now, this is the same as perfect faith. It's not something that you and I marvel at and say, oh boy, I wish we had it. This is something we have based on the fact of the Word. And remember, we are the repositories of that Word. And you're still tempted in your flesh. You still got your problems. And what we see about it, Brother Branham brings out some things here. Now notice, in my Father's house are many mansions. I don't mean to add to the Word of God or take from it, because we're not to do that. Revelation 22 said, whosoever will add a word or take a word out of it. But let me just make this not an additive, but just to bring out a point. In my Father's house are many kinds of mansions. I don't believe that when we get to heaven that we will be. Just everybody will look just exactly alike. I don't believe. They will all be blondes, brunettes, or little, or big, or all giants. I believe that God is a God of variety. Now, when he makes a statement that he must be careful not to add or take from the Word, he's illustrating. Now, he's not really illustrating so much as he's bringing out from nature here, and that is an illustration, as we'll see, to compare what's going on. Now, my point is this. Even every illustration can be dangerous to adding or taking from the Word. So, therefore, any illustration must be 100% compatible with the Word and from the Word itself, to be really sure. And that's what Paul said. The Old Testament is our example. And we go back and we see everything in the Old Testament to help us in the New. And so therefore, from Genesis to Revelation, there is a continuity which must not be trifled with. We must under no consideration ever use any illustration or point that would take from the truth of the Word of Almighty God, add to it, and so on, so it's no longer the truth. I believe that God is a God of variety. The world, the cosmos proves that. He's got big mountains, little mountains. He's got plains. He's got desert. He's got different things because He made it the way He wanted it. Now remember the way he wanted it. Now remember, he's omniscience, he's omnipotence, he's love. So now he's going to work from that viewpoint. And remember, the love is distinctly set for his own. Now the rest can enjoy it, they can imbibe in it, but they're going to pay a price for it. Because they're the ones that are messing everything up. They always have and always will. That's why when people don't understand ecology and talk in tongues and they don't care about cutting down the sequoia, they don't care about this, the rainforest, let me tell you something, no more full of the Holy Ghost than a horse in my estimation. And I'm flattering the people of even considering be a horse. Really. Jackass is more like it than you will. Truth. Because God's going to destroy those that destroy the earth. Now come on, just get with it. Now I'm not saying be ecological minded like these kooks out there. No, you can go to the place where everything is ecology with you, and then you're back to the Indian religion, Mother Earth, Great Spirit. Well, you do what you want about it. I'm not interested. I'm interested in right over here. Pillar of Fire by William Branham. He made it the way he wanted it. But now watch, if he made it for us the way he wanted it, then that's the way we're going to love it according to what's in us. Now let's keep watching. And he made the seasons, summer, winter, spring, autumn. He made the seasons. It shows he's a God of variety. He made you in a variety. Now watch what he says about you and me in a variety. This is maybe flattering to us because it'll relieve some of our tensions just to think that we're in here. Some men are real blusterous. That ought to help some of us. Some are real dogmatic. That ought to help a whole lot more. Others are fine. That took the wind out. Others are kind. And you just find all kinds of different people in his kingdom. Now, Brother Branham is saying that God made these men to be this way. Now, here's the thing. We read biographies, and we read in the Bible, particularly the biographies of great Christians, Praying Hyde and different ones, great Christians, and we then have a desire to be like those people, but we can't. At best, we can find ourselves in the Bible as characters that are there, as Brother Branham said. Now, that's the best we can do. Let's read. See, look at Peter and judge him by Andrew. See, Andrew's that prayer warrior, just stayed on his knees all the time. How can everybody be a praying hide? You read the book on praying hide, everybody wants to be a praying hide. You read about Finney, want to turn the world upside down and get a father, what's his name, Davis or somebody that used to pray for Finney day and night and great revivals came. Let me tell you something. God had his own print on Finney. He had it on Moody. He had it on this guy. He had it on that guy. And if he's got it on you, you ain't going to be one of them. I knew this. That's why I never would try to be William Branham. God had pity. I come under the blusterous and the bumptious and the dogmatic. He's under the kind and the fine. The very fine kind. See, Andrew's a prayer warrior. Just stayed on his knees. The Apostle Peter was one of the firebrands that preached and so forth. Paul was more scholarly, more like the prophets or something, and more reserved. And see, Moses wrote the first four books of the Bible. He wrote the Old Testament. The rest of it was the law, the kings, the Psalms, and so forth. And someone wrote of the prophets. But Moses wrote the laws, the first four books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. He left out Numbers. Isn't that strange? That's okay, though. Slip of the tongue. Then Moses wrote the New Testament. That's true. Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John wrote the Acts of what took place and so forth. But Paul separated law and grace and put it in his place. Now watch this carefully because remember, the same pillar of fire that brought the word to Paul, revealed it to him, is the same one here that is revealing it now for the last time. This is the last section. 4, 5, 6, and number 7. They went off in number 4, started to come back on 5, number 6, and in number 7, the light was almost completely gone, and at this time, at the end of the 7th age, comes that prophet. All right, Paul separated law and grace and put it in his place. See, he was a writer of the New Testament. He gave us writings of the New Testament, setting the Word of God in order. Now, Brother Branham came, and what did he do? He differentiated between real eternal security and what wasn't real. A real baptism and what Holy Ghost and what wasn't real. A true water baptism and what wasn't. In other words, we have here absolutely what he said. setting the Word of God in order. Now watch. Setting the Word of God in order. Now remember, therefore, the word bride or church must be set in order at the last time and can only be done so by God Himself through His own Word. It's all that can be done. So this is what you find in 1 Corinthians 15, where the chrismon, the shout, is bringing the church under subjection. And in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, which is the chrismon shout, and Ephesians 1:15, 17 to 23, especially 15, 17, and 18, will show you positively God Himself has come down to give the correct revelation of Himself and set the church in order. So now the church has the ability to come into that state of perfection of grace. And remember, Joshua going into the land was a special day of grace, where there's neither light nor dark, and the whole world's being condemned. A special day of grace, and Brother Branham tells us about it, so that now the Holy Spirit Himself, God setting His church in order, this church now comes to perfection with the seals open to the tree of life, neither adding nor taking one word. So therefore, Brother Branham, in my books is simply telling you here, listen carefully, I'm talking about myself, but you can't catch it unless you begin to realize everything I say is for this hour. I am not going back to yesterday or tomorrow. It is for today. And you notice he doesn't dwell much on tomorrow. He simply tells you about things that are there. All right, notice. Many, many mansions. Many kinds of mansions. Like many kinds of hills. Many kinds of rivers. Many kinds of springs. Many kinds of lakes. They were here when you came here first, because the kindness of your heavenly Father placed them here. The word is love, too. Because some men like mountains, and some people like water, some like deserts. Now, I like everything. I even like the water. I don't particularly like the smell of it. The thing water bothers me is that I'm very sensitive to humidity. I'm born in a dry country, and I like it dry. This country here drives me bonkers, the same as the Jeffersonville girl, Brother Branham's ought to be skull. He liked out in the desert where you had to, you know, that it was, what is it, 1% humidity? It was that much. Well, it'll be a little more than that, I guess, maybe, what, 10 or 12%. And any frost on your car was like a razor blade pretty well. It just isn't out there. Well, he liked the desert, and you'll find that many people love the desert. I like just about everything but sitting in water, and I suppose I could take that if I had to. But it's all good. It's here for everybody to enjoy. We have our likes and our dislikes in a particular sense of what is here. Though liking it all, we like some things better than others. So he's telling you here, he made it that way so that you could enjoy it. Oh, I think that's a wonderful Father, see, though he made it like this. I'm glad he made mountains. I like the mountains. I like that. Where the others say, oh, I can't stand all these mountains. Must have emptied his mortar box out there. Well, he emptied it so I could enjoy it, see? All right. Your nature to enjoy the nature he put here. In other words, there's a nature in us that enjoys the nature he put here. Goes beyond and will fit us to enjoy to the fullest what is coming. Now, there's a little joke that my wife tells about this. Well, we can turn her over here and I'll tell you. She used to take care of retards in, not retreads, but retards, in an institution where little children were born with you know, adverse abilities. They just never could match their wits with anything. They're nice little kids. And this, there used to be a Miss Brown would come. She was a nurse and she was a Baptist after a sorts. And she would like to tell the kids all about heaven and everything else. So this little kid, Jackie, when he found out there was, and she said, they said, there's no night in heaven. Oh, he said, Miss Brown, I don't think I want to go there. Why, Jackie? He said, there's no night there and I just love to sleep. And you know, that's cute little thing that actually happened, but it illustrates the fact that everything here from God is suited in our nature to take up with what He Himself has made. And the trouble with people today, the love of money is blind to their eyes until they can't see the beauty of nature. They want to destroy every canyon by putting water in it. And the ground may bring on earthquakes. They want to do everything for $1, $1, $1, and everybody, they talk about, oh my, my, if it weren't for DDT and the pesticides, people would starve, and this and that. Who said they would starve? People are so fat, it's pitiful. They're carrying away hundreds and millions of tons of fat corpuscles that are killing them. I can say that because I've lost a bit of weight. I'm down to where I should be. I still got a few, don't worry. But that's the truth. People don't need anywhere near the amount of food they eat. And the Bible condemns gluttony and surfeiting. Not surfing, but surfeiting. You can go out and ride the surf. It'll do you good if you want to. But eating a lot is against the word of Almighty God. Put a knife to thy throat, the Bible says. So then you see, I like the plains where I can see a long ways. Well, they're two different natures, both of us Christians. But the Father knew there would be here, and that would be here and prepared for you before you got here. Amen. Your first coming here, He had it ready for you when you got here. Isn't that marvelous to think what He has done? Now, He says here, you see, there again, this proves that this life here is a continued life. And it's for the seed, and it's going to go on then to a higher level, this being the negative, as Brother Branham tells us. Now, 50. Now, but remember, these are only temporal gifts. In other words, these are temporal, which are temporary, they pass away. It's something like the baptism with the Holy Ghost. When the baptism is all over with, there's not one more person to be sealed in, then it's done away with. What do you come to? You come to the very presence of God Himself, just like in the day of Paul. Here the folk are being filled with the Holy Ghost, and God gets a hold of Paul, and God Himself comes down, meets him face to face, and stands right there and said, Paul, here I am. I'm Jesus. I'm Jehovah, the great Savior. I'm the God that you worship. And I'm going to give you the truth. And here Paul now gets baptized with water in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost. And then God Himself stands right there as a man full of the Holy Ghost and a spirit in a measure upon him as the great word prophet for the Gentile church. God stands right there and gives him the word. Now, we've come to the same thing. In this hour, we're coming face to the face to the very spirit in our midst that gives us of his own spirit. Okay, I hope you understand it. Now we know that Moses, in building the tabernacle in the wilderness, or preparing it, he said he made all things after the order of what he saw in heaven. See? So the earthly things only express what the eternal things are. They're a shadow. See? In other words, we're going from the negative to the positive. Now, it's not that it wasn't positive to begin with. It took on the negative because of what was done with it. But now when you go forward, you will not be doing wrong with what is there. Because all things are pure to the pure in heart, and they are all things are pure. Now the pure in heart are there, so how's anything going to go haywire? Nothing is going to be out of divine order. See? So Brother Branham using from Hebrews, see thou make all things according to the pattern I showed thee in the mount concerning the tabernacle. He says this here is a shadow of the heavenly, so the earthly things only express what the eternal things are. And remember, things that are to be is coming in view right now. And if this earth that we live in today, being so great as we love it and love to live and breathe the air, I hope so, and see, that's 30 years ago. How much air can you breathe now and get away with it? Every store should have the sign, every food store, every store where anything sold should have the sign, this could be detrimental to your health and kill you. And the FDA is supposed to protect you. As long as the FDA's got the money, they're not going to protect you. Are you kidding? When Dr. Merkel discovered cold fusion and proved it, the government would have had it, but the big seven sisters of the oil companies turned it down and said, get out. So they busted it. Then a little two-bit thing in one of the universities, they said, oh, we got cold fusion, hogwash. You know what it was? It was a smoke screen because the world is beginning to know there is such a thing as cold fusion. And cold fusion means nobody gets hurt. It's already in nature. The very thing the sun does, he did on a hot plate. Produced small atomic bombs and no radiation. The man had a destiny. But you know what? Nobody wants it, because love of money is the root of all evil. Absolutely. See, listen, do you think a Christian is going to buy a judge off? No, it's a dirty, rotten crook out there, so where's the money? How's the judge going to do? Is he going to honor the victim? He's not going to honor the victim. He's going to honor the criminal. Because the criminal's where the money is. The judge, these guys don't make any money defending good guys because they don't do anything bad. It's the crooks out there. Come on, face it. The whole system is gone. Oh, man, if you think it's... You think just pray to get out of here and thank God we're going to... How we get out doesn't really matter anymore, die or anything else. If you want to be here for the rapture, great. I think that's fine. There's going to be somebody here. 8 people made the ark. Percentage-wise, 8 people got the Holy Ghost out of... How many? Oh, brother, sister. See the flowers. Read the air. See the flowers and other things. If this here is the expression, one that's dying is only expressing one that's eternal. Now listen, when you see a tree struggling, pulling, trying to live, that means there's a tree somewhere that doesn't have to do that. Now watch carefully. When you see a man here, now think of Brother Branham 7 days in that coma, struggling to live, somebody in a hospital or sick in a bed or in an accident, struggling and the death rattles in their throat and pulling and crying and screaming for life. What does that mean? That there's a, this is his actual own eulogy. There's a place somewhere, there's a body that doesn't struggle and scream for that, see? Just doesn't do it. Yep. Now they are temporal gifts to us, these things, only expressing that there is one that's eternal. That what Jesus has gone away to prepare, the eternal one for us. Now they only express there's a greater of the same kind, because they are the same kind. Again, we're looking at continuity. Now, Brother Branham is solving a problem here. And the problem is what? Do we come back? Yes, we come back, exactly as we are in new bodies. What about the animals? They're going to be there too. How is it done? By resurrection. How many's coming? Leave that to God. It's none of your business. If it only came back in one animal, then every life is in that animal. Because you see, you're looking at the life. That's what people get all haywire. As I try to tell you, when you deal with God, you are dealing with life. You are not dealing with male and female. You're not dealing with sex organs. You're not dealing with reproduction. Let's understand that. God made a male to carry the life, but let's understand this. Adam's wife, Eve, had exactly the same life as Adam had. But she had her own peculiar female spirit and her sex organs in order to produce, but producing a life. And the male became the carrier, and so it is with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit. The church does not have life yet, only from Almighty God, and stands there as a womb. People don't want to understand. I get steamed up. I'll challenge anybody to prove me wrong. I can get science and prove that I'm right. The same life produces a male and female according to what that life wants. Here's where the intelligence is. True, brother. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. That was a snide remark made very loud. So, Brother Babe, you might get judged for it. I'm already judged. I don't prove I'm wrong. Science is on my side. I'll soon get it there, don't worry. You take the Bible and show me something. I hear the guys preaching now, the tree of life, and it's called her in the book of her fruit. He said, there it is, female. So I looked up Weiss' translation, he said, it's. Oh, my. Paragraph 52. Now remember the Bible said, if this earthly tabernacle of our dwelling, if we perish, be dissolved, we have one already waiting. Just as a little baby, its little muscles in mother twisting and turning. See, and you notice you can take a woman, she'll be ever so foul. When she becomes a mother, a little while before that baby's born, there's a kindness about that woman. Get around her. There's always something. She's more tender. Why? There's a little angel spirit waiting to receive that natural body. Just as soon as it's born, the breath of life comes into it, and God breathes it in there. And it becomes a living soul. Now, just as this baby is being born, then the spiritual body is there to receive it. Now, when this body is dropped here in this earth like a baby is dropped, also there's an immortal body waiting to receive the Spirit back into itself again. Oh, what a great thing. We are now in Christ Jesus. Amen. Babes in Christ, children of God, waiting for the full deliverance at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to receive us unto himself when the body, this mortal, will take on immortality. Now, Brother Branham speaks this, he said, about this woman, he said. Now, he said, there's a little angel spirit waiting to receive that natural body. Now, don't get carried away. Brother Branham said that spirit is allowed of God, but it is not of God. So that is not the Holy Spirit. He also more than intimated that there are fallen angels and good angels. And there'll be a lot of people, therefore, they invaded by bad angels and those that aren't taken over by good ones. You can leave this up to what your thinking is. I can't go into this very much because there's nothing much I can do about it. No way, shape, and form. Remember, Brother Branham said, at death, he said, the spirit goes. A woman in Connecticut, when her spirit left her body, said, Mary, come back. So therefore, there's a full identification with the spirit and the soul and the body. You can't separate them. If the soul went, as Mary, come back. If you want the body, as Mary, come back. If you want the spirit, as Mary, come back, as far as I can understand it. Because Brother Branham categorically said, the spirit goes forth and the soul lingers. So therefore, the Bible tells you the exact truth. The Spirit goes back to God who gave it. Doesn't mean it's the Holy Ghost just gave back to God who gave it or God allowed it. The Bible distinctly said, Jesus, in thy hands I commend my spirit, and his soul went down into Hades. What are you going to do about that? And his body was on the ground in a cave. Tripartite. Not six and seven souls and this and that, but three. Body, soul, and spirit, wholly sanctified unto God. These things I don't understand to perfection. I don't even have to know them. But I do know one thing, when the child was born, stillborn, Brother Branham said to the Mormon, you'll see that child in heaven. So therefore the soul was there. And therefore they had birth control, not birth control, but it is if you do the wrong kind. But certainly abortions is absolutely against the word of Almighty God and does constitute a murder. They can say what they want. Clinton is entirely led astray by his theologian, who is a Baptist, who is correct when he said spirit is air. And Brother Branham did say that child brings that air in, and that's the time. Now let's look at what he says here. He said here, an angel waiting to receive that natural body. Just as soon as it's born, the breath of life comes into it, and God breathes it in there. Does he say God is breathing it in by his own breath, or does he say God is breathing it in? He doesn't say what he said in the other places. Not in my books. This does not mean the same thing. He said God is doing this. Because God is completely sovereign. And did he not say he raised up Pharaoh for this very purpose? Are they not all ministers of God? The crookedest rotten judge downtown is a minister of God. But you watch him stand before God for taking liberty on God. Oh, yeah. He's a minister of God. The devil controls him, just like Judas. So just watch all these things. Be very, very careful. Because, you know, we could get in a lot of trouble thinking a lot of things Brother Branham is saying here. Compare it all. And Brother Branham categorically said, that spirit that's standing there waiting for that body to come on down is allowed of God, but is not of God. There is your doctrine. Here he's illustrating and telling you. Again, he's not just illustrating, he's telling you the truth. And he's telling you these things, see here. Now, he said God breathes in. He said he becomes a living soul. God breathes in it there, and it becomes a living soul. Now, what does he mean there? The same thing has happened to Adam. The whole thing now begins to function. It's coming together because that's how God had it. He said before the body is just merely kicking, jerking muscles and nerves like he says here. But as soon as that spirit comes in now, you've got light. And you've got then a vehicle for the soul that is now living, sensate with the mind to take in nature. The soul has within it a decision to trust God and believe God or not, and to receive the word and the Holy Spirit. These are the things we just look at. Brother Branham or he could tell you more than I can tell. I'm not Brother Branham. Now, I believe here then that Brother Branham is telling us that the gene of God, the baby comes down to responsibility here and to the rebirth, and what's happening in the natural is a picture of what's happening in the spiritual. So now you're here, you're a person growing up. You're coming to the place where God can deal with you. You come to the place of repentance that's been granted to you. Then you are justified, baptized in water, go on to sanctification, and the Holy Spirit. And this is how then we are projecting the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which, remember, is the body word. In other words, all those thoughts and word back there manifested in flesh, what will they not come to but the word and not led by creeds and dogmas, as Brother Branham said. Paragraph 53. The likeness of all the things that he did express, the things that are to come. Now the likeness, all the things that he did express, that he did, expresses the things that are to come. In other words, every bit of creation here is expressing a perfection of the very expressions we see now. Will they then be what we're looking at? No way, shape, and form. Brother Branham said there won't be a crooked tree. It won't be what you're looking at. Now, you'll be what you're looking at, but not how you're looking at it and what you're seeing now. You're going to see what's in that original seed come forth in its very great beauty. So, therefore, it is going to be re-expressed in a perfection. Now, let's take a look at this in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 10. But as the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. They'll be just seeing all these things shall be dissolved, vaporized. What manner of persons ought we to be in all holy behavior and godliness? Now, and he's telling you here that this is sure, and you have no continuing city here, that this is going to be wiped out from under the feet of people, whether they want it wiped out or not. Now, this is going to be, get yourself ready for the great disaster, and then the coming forth. Now watch, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, the elements shall melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness dwelleth. There you are. We're looking at these things here in the scripture, and they're ours. Then what manner of people you ought to be? And then Brother Branham is bringing it out. He said, look, all of these things are here, and there's a continuation. And so now in the form you're in, get ready for the continuation. And you're not going to get it outside of this message. See? Just as the body he gave you to live in only expresses that there is one greater yet to come. That's your glorified body. See? That's 1 Corinthians 15 in the resurrection chapter. If we bear or have borne the image of the earthly, says, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which holds no evils in this one that is to come. Now, this one does hold evil, sickness, death, and sorrow. Now, he tells you. Now, you know, he said something's got to take you out of this world. He said TB, cancer, arthritis, and so on. You may get all four of them. But we're to come back. He's at a resurrection. It's like my handkerchief going down. I pick it up because it's the same thing that went down that comes back. If something else comes back, it's not a resurrection. And Brother Branham said that God would create again, not through sex, but by bringing all the elements that were in our bodies back together, and we're going to come back the way we are. Now, paragraph 54. I've just expressed here not long ago, preaching on the transformation of the Word of God, of how that this body that's got the evil in it and all this modern civilization that we live in is of the devil. In other words, he says, your body right now is not what God made, it's what the devil made. And that's exactly true. Because according to Mendel's law, positively, there'll be more serpent seed on this earth and more serpent flesh, absolutely, cell per cell, than has been at any other time. To the extent it's natural brute beast. It's a brute beast serpent seed kingdom. See? Now, don't get fuzzy thinking. See, I know right away we all go back. Oh, I'm not going to say it because right away I become a, you know, racist. Well, I am. And I'll tell you that Brother Branham stood against the Wall Street Jew and Zionism put him back there, but that God allowed it. But just get one thing under your chest and get it flat. The Jews have the paper. Now, what happened in university just the other day when a guy that converted to Judaism was going to speak there? And they said, we don't want to hear him. It was the blacks that did, I think, the most howling. I think it was a black university, maybe it was a mixed university. And what did they cry against? They said, Greenspan and the Federal Reserve run by a bunch of Jews, and we've had it. And what happened? The hate letters came in and said, you better have that retracted or else Jews will take all our money out. I ask you a question. Who's got the paper? Who did Brother Branham say? What is the paper? American controls right today over roughly 75% of the world commerce. Who's making our money? Not the United States. Let's face it. Who's got the paper? See? Who's got the gold? And who's going to get together? And who's going to take the licking? The Jews. Now, if I'm a racist, you go ahead and call it. I'm a Christian. I preach the Word of God without fear and favor, as far as I know. I don't hate anybody, as far as I know, but I'll stand with the Word of God, and it may sound like I hate him. Well, two-edged sword's not a bad thing. The Bible said, cursed is the man whose sword doesn't draw blood. So maybe that doesn't apply to me, but I would hope it might before too long. Not necessarily heads rolling. What happened? Those guys that said I was off on Godhead, huh? Where are they running around? Where is their cut in the gospel? Huh? Tell me. Not defending myself. I got the word here, and I got the quotes. If I can't get them, I own the computer, and Dave's in the software, the whole bit. I'll just say, Dave, look it up. If he can't find it, I got Vince to look for it. If he can't find it, I'll pull anybody else in the congregation anytime I want to start looking for it, and I'll get the quotes. See, I'm not smart. I'm just lazy. But I'm cunning. The modern civilization we live in is of the devil. You don't believe that? The Bible says it is. The word, this world, every government, we don't want to believe that, but the Bible plainly states it, that every government, every kingdom of the earth is owned by the devil and ruled by the devil. Then what about the gold and the paper? Jesus was taken up by Satan, and Satan showed him all the kingdoms of this world that were, would be, what more? And Satan claimed them his, and Jesus never argued with him, because Satan is the god of this world, see? And he said, I'll give them to you if you fall down and worship me. See, he was trying to give them over to Jesus without the sacrifice, see? It was a bargain he was going to make with him. And the Jews are going to make it again with Rome. Because the Pope's Antichrist. The Jew system is not the Antichrist system. They don't stand. Anti means instead of. That's like the same word comforter. Here instead of. So the Pope's the Holy Ghost, is he? Ha, ha, ha. Let him come against that and see if he would fall flat dead. I'm not bloodthirsty. I'm just telling the Word of God says. Am I supposed to be better than God? See, there again is just great love stuff. I simply can't stand it. God comes along and says, Lord, now Lee Dale, I want you to love. I hate the guy, but you're to love him. Well, maybe there's something in that that I got to learn to do for the time being. See, I can't see God telling me one thing and him doing another. I can only see one place that love can come forth. If the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, and the conduit of the Holy Ghost is the Word, then that love has to be 100% with the Word of shut up and sit down. Don't even talk to me. I'm not interested. I've got enough confusion now. Try to battle my way out to see exactly the things the way the Word of God states them, not the way my heart or my dictates or anything. The Bible said, my heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above everything, and so is every heart here. So you're going to tell me something sweet and nice? You just cut your throat as far as I'm concerned. I ain't got a time for you. I won't eat your vomit. You eat your own vomit. I'm not against love, but it better be love, the love of God shed abroad by the Holy Ghost in our hearts, and the Holy Ghost has one conduit. You say, Brother Dale, I'm that conduit. Like hogwash you are. You're the secondary. You are like the temple in which the ark sat, in which the Word of God was. And that life all around it. Yeah. I don't pretend to understand it. I'm just staying here with the Word of God until God does something for me, in me, and through me. That's all I know. I'm not the master of my own destiny. I never came here wanting to come here. Everything is in the hand of God, and I do my dead level best to stand with the Word and put down all this junk I see out there. Now, I'm trying to excuse myself that I'm sweet, nice, and juicy, this and that. Forget it. Forget it. I can't have the Word of God and the real Holy Ghost, I am not interested. If I can't have the real love, the real peace, the real faith, the real revelation, if I can't have reality according, and remember the third chapter of the last church age brings out reality in the Amen, I am the way, the reality. If I can't have that, I'm not interested. You say, Brother Bill, you got it. I believe I've got it. The point is this. Say, well, just a minute. Why aren't you jumping around and twirling the chandeliers? I don't have to. I got my own way of expressing it. Yes, sir. This is where God has got his people, not where we got God. There's the big difference. Everybody but us has got God. God's got us. It's not who is God's, what side is God on? It's who is on God's side. I want to stand with this word and see what's going to happen. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't have any faith in anything anymore. Either God's going to do it or he's not going to do it. Either this is it, forget it. I'm gone anyway. Live, die, sink, swim. I know it's not popular. They sat here. You sitting here this morning like those guys that sat here and hated that? Did you come here just to make a burden in this church? To cause problems? Or are you here because something's in your heart that's so real you can't get away from it? It's the thing that really counts. Nothing else counts. You think 80 years of age and I preach and stand up here? Forget it. I could be up there playing. No, I couldn't even play a horseshoe. I could play ping pong. No, I couldn't play ping pong. I could play tiddlywinks and checkers maybe. No, listen, there's something in here that's got a hold of us. Not whether we got a hold of God or not. It's whether he's got a hold of us. So what about Jacob? God came down and got a hold of him. Jacob knew a good thing when he let it go. Same right here. You think Jacob said, God, I got to get a hold of you? Come on down, I can grab you. Somebody grabbed him. I hope we've all been grabbed by God. God the great grabber. G-G-G. God, great grabber. Not General Mills. General Motors. God. God, the great general, the great God of his army. He said, I'll give him to you, fall down and worship me. It was a bargain he was going to make him, but the world had sinned, so the penalty of sin was death, and he had to die. That's why God was manifested in flesh, so he could take death on him and pay the penalty. There's nothing to come back. It's not earmarked. In other words, this is finished. It's over. No strings attached. God did it, and what he does with it is God's business because he did it. He's sovereign. And there's only one choice in our soul, and if that soul's got that proper gene, the choice will go right to God. Because there's a place in there for the Word. And you can't turn it down, and the Word's a paradox every single time. You simply cannot be believed, but I believe it just the same. Paradox. Never, never forget the paradox. All right. Right in here, he says here, that's why God was manifested in flesh, Jesus' flesh, so God could take death on himself to pay the penalty. All right, now what does that come from? That comes from 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, I do believe it is, and should be about verse 21. For he hath made him, no, we want the one above it, 18. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and had given us to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, this is how it was done, that God was in Messiah, reconciling the world unto God, not imputing their trespasses, God not imputing, and God unto the trespasses, and God hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, that God was in Christ. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is that any different from John 14? Believest thou not him and the Father in me? The words I speak unto you speak not of myself, but the Father dwelleth in me, doeth the works. Believe me that I am the Father, and the Father in me, believe me the very works says. For as said he that believeth on works, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater, because they go to my Father. On what principle? The same principle, God in the man. What man does God get into? The prophet. So therefore, you're going to see the same thing at the end time here. Because one's Alpha, one's Omega. Because Jesus never came back and did the greater works. That sounds like in the resurrection he would have done it. Didn't do it. He's talking about doctrine, the talking, based upon the doing. Now, he allowed Paul to do it. Moses, Paul, William Branham. So, all right. We see this point here of how it was done. Now, let's go back to Numbers 11. I'm going to try to bring something together here and just give an idea of what I'm thinking. I can't prove anything, and I don't really intend to. But Numbers 11, and I guess it's verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 7 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation, they may stand there with thee. And I'll come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit that is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, and thou bear it not thyself alone. Now I want you to notice something here. Here's God talking to Moses with the Spirit of God on him. Now that doesn't mean that God is diminished or God is in Moses. God is standing right there and Moses is standing right here. God's in the pillar of fire. And he said to Moses, now Moses, my Spirit, a certain portion I've given you. And I'm going to take a certain portion off of that and give it to 70 people. And you'll still have more than anybody because you're the prophet. Now, I'm looking at this. That's why God was manifested in flesh so he could take death on him to pay the penalty. Yet we know that Brother Branham categorically said that God left Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And on the cross he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Into thy hands I commend my spirit, and his soul went down to Hades. So what I'm trying to bring out here and see this, that though God himself left that body, the Spirit of God was still in this man, Jesus Christ. And but I understand comparing Scripture. So that he was not bereft of the Spirit of Almighty God in the sense that he's left all alone as a human being. Because how then could he be the Son of God intrinsically and that be that soul? Now there's a lot of elements of mystery here. I can't explain it all, but my thinking at this point is here. Brother Branham's statement. That's why God was manifest in flesh. He was. And he did all those works proving it. But the one in him that did that work, God himself, that came to River Jordan, left him. Did that leave Jesus then simply as a human spirit? No way, shape, and forms. As a human soul? No way, shape, and form. In my books, as I can see. Because he was that one inflicting, the Bible speaks of. And in John 17, Brother Branham is speaking of that pre-existent one that did not bypass that theophonic form, that special form. And here he is now reduced to a sperm and an egg. In the sense of the covering, not the person himself, because he was the only begotten in whom God had done all these things. And I see him still there in that particular position, is that one. And so the Father left the Son, is what I am saying. And thereby, because the essentiality of the Son was the essentiality of the Father, God took upon himself the paying of the penalty, fulfilling his own word in that body. It's difficult to come to any definitive statement. I just am not a believer that God Almighty ever died. I don't believe you can crucify God except to yourself. How are you going to nail a spirit on the cross? Brother Branham said the body was Jesus, the spirit was God. There's many terminologies you look at, but my thought here is, look, God did this through that Son. And he wasn't God the Son, he was the Son of God. Now the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Father. What there was God gave birth to his own Son, who took the form of that light, and there were now two personalities, but not two gods. And that Son was what God himself used, the same as in this, to create the worlds and all those things. Now, there's nothing to come back. There's nothing earmarked. No strings on. Absolutely freely paid. All the debts paid. It belongs to him now. We are delegates of his kingdom assembled here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, our King sitting in heavenly places. Now, this is as far as we're going to go here until next Saturday night. We get back together again, far as I can believe and far as I can look. But there again, as I say, there are things in here that are difficult to understand. But we do our best to look at them on the grounds of how God did it. It is not terribly essential to know the mystery of it. to understand the mechanics of it. What is essential is to believe it. Remember, Brother Branham categorically said in the book of Acts that Jesus was the blood of God. And remember, the blood carries the life. So therefore, that life that was shed upon Calvary was absolutely life of God, shed for all the little lives of God that were in the back, in the future, and holds out for eternity. So, all right, we can rise at this time and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to thank you again for times of refreshing coming together in heavenly place in Christ Jesus. And again, Lord, if things are obscure, we admit they're obscure and trust, Lord, that we have not said things to further obscure them, but rather to just believe how that this was particularly done and how it was. Knowing, Lord, that you in your John said, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And this we see, Lord, and understand how you were able to do these things. We might not separate them to understand to the point of wanting to make it mechanical, though our minds, Lord, being what they are, given over to reason by Eve and more skilled and honed over this 6,000 years that we've been here upon earth to try to figure this and figure that, Lord, help us to just, as Brother Branham said, to leave it be. There's no strings attached. The thing was done, which we do, Lord. And we thank you for your word. And where we need to be more simplified, Lord, simple in our thinking, we pray you'll help us to be more simple in everything that we may truly be what you want us to be in our lives, Lord, in our passive faith, in our active faith, in all manner of conduct. And whatsoever is incumbent upon us to do with joy in our hearts, knowing that the word of promise fulfilled in this hour, the proof is now here, the things that are to be, and those kingdoms, Lord, those mansions, and all these things where we continue on in a life that's really satisfactory and fuller sanctification going on and on, going on to greater and greater glorification, Lord. These are the things we look to. Fill our hearts with them, we pray, Lord, to the exclusion of everything else over living God, that we might feed upon this body where it is given to us, and never more hunger and faint, because this is the dew of the saints of this hour. This is that hidden manna. This is the children bread. This is the food in due season, spiritual food. We claim it, O God, and we claim within ourselves because of our souls. And as David said, why art thou disquieted? O soul, why are you disquieted? Hope thou in God. And may we say with David, looking deeper than our souls, soul, just sit down and keep quiet. And let the dew of God fall upon us, the life of the word, which we are so happy to receive. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior.